I would like to dedicate today's shir Le'ili Nishmas Harav Avram David Niznik Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was nifter earlier this week. Rav Niznik served the community of Montreal, Canada for over 50 years. Following the patira of Hagoyin Harav Pinchas Hirschsprung Zitzal in 1997, Rav Niznik was appointed to replace him as chief rabbi of Montreal. Yehi Zichroi Baruch. Today's shir is a Masech Debei on Daf Lamed Zayin. We will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Bey, six lines from the bottom of the Amid, the second word on the line, V'loi Shatin Al Pnei Hamayim. In yesterday's shir, we learned that the Mishnah had divided up the Shvusim into three categories. The first one is called Shvus, as the Mishnah begins, Kol Shechayovin Olav Mishum Shvus. The second category is Rishus, and the third category is Mitzvah. And the various shvusim that are prohibited on Yontiv are divided into these three categories. We are still in category number one, which the Mishnah defined as shvus. The next halacha, which the Mishnah discussed, which was prohibited on Yontiv because of shvus, was v'loi shatin al pnei amayim. The Chazal assured one to swim on the water, in the water on Yontiv. The Gemara says, what's the reason? Gzeira shemayase chavish shel shayotin. We are afraid that the person will make a swimmer's tube. Rashi explains that this was a kli of woven reeds. It was shaped like a long barrel. And it was a tube that was used to help people to learn how to swim. So since someone might form that on Yontiv, they prohibited it both on Shabbos, both on Yontiv, to swim. Continues the Mishnah, V'loi metapchen, v'loi mesapkin, v'loi meragdin. We've had this Gemara brought down earlier in the Masechta, which we had the schus to say the shir on that day, on Daf Lamed Amid Aleph. And there are various pshatim in the Meforshim. Rashi learns v'loi metapchen means one should not clap his hands. V'loi mesapkin, one should not slap their thighs. V'loi meragdin, one should not dance. All of these are associated with Simcha, Rashi explains, or with Tsar. They could be expressions of happiness, of joy, or the opposite. And the reason that they are forbidden, says the Gemara, is Gzeira Shemi Yisakin Klei Shir, because someone might come to fix or create a musical instrument on Yontiv or Shabbos, and since it is prohibited to do so, therefore, it is prohibited to make a keli, to fix a keli on Yontiv or Shabbos. Therefore, these activities that are associated with musical instruments are prohibited on Shabbos and Yontiv. I forgot to mention in the last piece of Gemara that if someone would create that chavish al shayotin, that swimmer's tube, they would be over on oireg, on weaving, and also on misak and mana, and that's why Chazal assert swimming, because the person might come to be over on those two malachas. Now, as far as what the meaning of metapchen, misapchen, merakten is, we have mentioned Rashi's pshat. However, the Yerushalmi says that metapchen is clapping for simcha, and misapkin is, again, clapping with the two hands, exactly the same as metapchen, but it is for the purpose of letting out one's anger, and that is why he is clapping. In the Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnayos, we find that he explains Metapkin exactly like Rashi. However, when it comes to Mesapkin, he says that this is clapping with the use of a musical instrument. We have discussed the inyan of dancing on Shabbos and Yontiv at great length in Daf Lamed Amid Aleph, Ayin Shom, or better yet, listen there. However, two items that we did not mention in that shir, which is Kedai for a person to be Mi'ayin, in Simen Shin Lamed Tes, the Bir Halachin Divri Amaskil Lahokil Bakoil, in the standard Mishnah Berurah, it's in Chela Gimel on Daf Kuf Pei Vav. The Mishnah Berurah has a two-page arichus on the Isurim that are connected with mixed dancing, which he brings down from Rabbi Akiva Eger in the name of the Sefer Zichron Yosef, Ayin Shum. A second item that the Bir Halacha points out to us in that siman is that clapping through a shinui is permitted. However, using a musical instrument, even through a shinui, would not be permitted. Continues the Gemara. Ve'elehem yishum rishus. And now we enter into the second category of shvusim, which are called rishus, loy donin. One does not adjudicate, one does not judge a din Torah on Shabbos or Yontif. The Gemara asks a question, how do we call this rishus, v'ha mitzvah kovet? It's in fact a mitzvah. If somebody is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, if somebody is done din emes lamitoi, he's nasi shutav v'makarish baruch hu. So it is certainly a praiseworthy thing, a person's involved in a mitzvah when he settles din Torah, and the money is given to the person who really owns the money. So it is a mitzvah. Why do you call it rishus? The Gemara says, loy tzricha. It must be speaking about the ikka da'arif minei. There is someone more capable than him to judge, and therefore it is not considered a total mitzvah. It's in the category of rishus, because when, as the Gemara will later explain, when you compare it to a real mitzvah, which the Gemara will give examples of, then this is considered a rishus. Here we have a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and Tosus. The way Tosus understands Rashi, Rashi's shita is that even if there would not be someone better than him to judge, he is the greatest Talmud Chacham there, it still would be prohibited to paskin a din Torah on Shabbos or Yontif. And the Gemara will soon tell us on the Flamed Zayin Amid Aleph why Chazal prohibited this. But right now we're focusing on the terminology of Rishus. Rashi says that since it's possible that there could be a case where there's someone greater than him, and then he would not be judging, so that entire mitzvah is not called like a real mitzvah, it's only Rishus. But in fact, even the Gzeira of not paskening a din on Shabbos or Yontif would apply even in the case where there was no one greater. However, the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam is not like that. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's only Usur, the Chazal only made the Gzeira, the Ikka de Adif Minei, when there is someone that is greater. But ain't a chanami in a case where there is no one greater than that person. The person would belong, for example, to the Sanhedrin Gedoyla, the Sanhedrin Hagadol in the Lishkas Hagadol in Yerushalayim. That's the highest body of Talmidei Chachamim that Klal Yisrael possesses. Taisus brings rise from Gemaras that then there would be a heter to paskin a din. Continues the Gemara. Veloy mekachin. One cannot make kiddushin. One cannot engage a wife on Shabbos or Yontif. And the Gemara, again, wants to know, why is kiddushin referred to as a rishus? Frey the Gemara, va mitzvah kavet, he's doing the mitzvah of peruvu. Why do you call it a rishus? The Gemara answers, lo tzricha de isla isho banim. It must be speaking about where he has an isho banim, as Rashi explains. According to Beis Shammai, based on the Gemara in Yevamis, Daf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Beis Shammai holds that one is Yotzer Mitzvah Puruvu with two Zechar. Beis Hillel over there disagrees and holds that you're Yotzer the Mitzvah Puruvu with a Zachar and a Nekeva. And then Rashi says that a person is not obligated more than that. However, on the second line, Rashi says, Miyuk Tzas Mitzvah Ikka, there is a little bit of a mitzvah, even if one has ishu banim, kid de omar, babaykir zeres arachol, erv al tanach yadecha. The pasuk says in Koheles that even if a person has had children when he's young, he should still have children in his old age as well, even though he's yotze the mitzvah with two zuchorim or two or a zachar nekeva based on the sheets of Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, but there's still somewhat of a mitzvah, and that's why it's called rishus. Tosfos, the last Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, Divrei Maskil Va Mitzvah Kavod, again brings a similar machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Tosfos understands Rashi to mean that even if the person does not have Ishu Banim, but since if he would have Ishu Banim, it would not be a total mitzvah, it would only be a ktsas mitzvah, so therefore even if he doesn't have Ishu Banim, it's considered, it's categorized in our Mishnah as being called a Rishus, but even if he wouldn't have an Ishu Banim, it would be part of the Gzera, part of the Shvus, part of the Isser, of being Mekadesh a woman. So according to Shitas Rashi, one cannot be Mekadesh a woman, whether he has children, he doesn't have children, makes no difference. He was not yet Mekadesh the Mitzvah Peruru. Kiddushin is absolutely usur to be done on Shabbos or Yontav. And once again, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam says, the Gemara is saying clearly, that Leitzricha de Islay Isho Banim, he has a wife and children. But if he would not have a wife or children, or as the Mishra Brewer brings down, that there are Poskim who learn in the Rabbeinu Tam, that even if he had Banim, but if he wouldn't have an Isha, the Gemara says de Islay Isho Banim, he has both. He has an Isha and children. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if he would not have an Isha or Banim, he was never Mekayim Peruvu. He's allowed to make Kiddushin on Shabbos or Yontev. And even if he has Banim, if he doesn't have an Isha, it's still, as Rashi brought down, a mitzvah, tzas mitzvah to have children, to get remarried. And even if he had a wife and he divorced from his wife, or his wife died, unfortunately, it would be a mitzvah for him to remarry. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, in those situations, Ein Echanami, one could make Kiddushin on Shabbos or Yontev. The only time, according to Rabbeinu Tam, one would not make Kiddushin on Shabbos or Yontev, would not be part of the Gzeira of our Mishnah, is if Islay Isha Banim, he has a wife and children. Now, if we look in Simen Shin Lamed Tes, in Sif Dalid, in Hilchos Shabbos, in the standard Mishnah Berurah on Daf Kuf Pei Vav, so we find an interesting remark. The Ramah goes on the Mechaber. The Mechaber paskins v'loy mekachin, period. One does not make kedushah on Shabbos Yontev. Says the Ramah, v'yesh matirin l'kaddish, heichat ein le'yishu banim. He brings the Rabbeinu Tam in our sugya, which argues on Rashi, and says that if he does not have an Ishur banim, he's allowed to be mekaddish on Shabbos. And as we quoted, the Mishnah Berurah says, even if he has banim, he doesn't have an ishus. There are those who learn in Rabbeinu Tam that he would have a heter, even if he has been mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, he would have a heter to make kedushin on Shabbos and Yontif. Continues the Ramah, v'efshir dehu adin haknisa l'chopishari, even the knisa l'chopa, the nesuin, which the Mishnah Berurah points out, is kone for him various things through the chuppah, but since he doesn't have Yishu Banim and there's a mitzvah of Puruvu, the Ramah holds one could be Mekel. And the Ramah continues, we really don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Rather, as the Mishnah Berurah brings down, we paskin like Shitas Rashi and the other Rishonim, that Kiddushin and Chuppah are Asur on Shabbos and Yontif. We are somach on this in an emergency situation. Gam ki gadol kavod habrias. There's an inyan of respect for people. Kemo shiragilin shel pa'amim. Now the minig in those days, and I have seen ksubas in the Jewish Museum, which were dated Erev Shabbos, and the reason they used to make marriages on Erev Shabbos was because of their tremendous poverty. They couldn't afford a Sudas Shabbos as well as a Sudas Nesuim. So they would make the Kedusha and Chuppah Erev Shabbos and have the Suda at night. And they would be having one Suda, Sudas Shabbos, which would also serve as the Sudas Nesuim. So in a situation where one gets married on Friday, and sometimes, says the Ramah, they couldn't work out the financial details on Friday, at Halila, until nighttime. What do we do now? Now it's Shabbos. We finally worked out all the monetary issues. Are we allowed to get married now that it's already Shabbos? Says the Ramah, the Oisna Chuppah V'Kedushin B'Leil Shabbos. We do the Chuppah V'Kedushin B'Leil Shabbos. Hoyul Kvarichinu L'Suda ulunesuin. Since they already prepared the suda and the, for Shabbos and for the nesuin, v'have biyush lekalu lechosan. It's an embarrassment for the chosan kalim lo yichnas as if they won't get married then. Umikol makom lechatchil yeshu zorsh lo yavli deikach lechatchil. You shouldn't do it. So the Mishnah Brura brings the Chochmas Adam, which says that the heter of the Ramah is only on three conditions. Number one, they were not Yoytze yet. The Chos was not Yoytze Purvu. Number two, there's going to be a Hefsid Gadol. That's what the Ramah was referring to, that they already prepared the Suda. And number three, there's going to be a Busha to the Chosin and Kala, Biyush Chosin and Kala. Then, and only then, is it permitted? And it seems that Lamaise would not be permitted, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, if he had already children and you didn't have that third criterion of that he wasn't Mekayim Puravu. If it's only Yesh Leibonim Ve'en Leisha, on that we would not be Mater to make the Chuppah and Kedushin on Shabbos. Now, this Ramah is a very nice psak of the Ramah, but in fact, there's a historical background. It's a Maisa Shehoya. There was a story when the Ramah first became Rav in Krakow, where there was an Alman who was, there was a Yosim marrying a Yosima. They didn't have parents, and the relatives on both sides were trying to get the best deal for their relative. And until the negotiations ended through the good offices of the Ramah, who finally made the financial settlement between the two parties, it was already nighttime. What do we do now? So the Ramah paskened, as he paskens here in Siman Shin Lamites, in Hilchei Shabbos, that it's a Shas Hadchak. There's going to be a Busha to the Chosan and Kala. There's going to be a Hefsid of the Suda. There's going to be also, he was not Mekayim the Mitzvah of Puravu, this Chosan. Taking all three inyanim together, he was matter b'shas adchak to make the chuppah kedushin, and likewise they danced. And this brings to mind the other Ramah in Siman Shin Lamites, which we already mentioned on Daf Lamed, where the Ramah speaks about can you dance the halacha that we just had a few minutes ago on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, that you're not supposed to dance, you're not supposed to clap your hands out of joy. Says the Ramah in Sif Gimel here in this Siman Shin Lamites, V'yeisharim the Bizman Hazeh Kol Shori Deinanu Bekiyin Basias Klishir. He brings Tosfos on Daf Lamed, which we mentioned in the last year on Daf Lamed, that Tosfos says Bizman Hazeh, since we don't know how to make instruments as they used to, every family knew how to fix instruments, make instruments. We don't, since we're not Bekiyin Basias Klishir. Lekalamizar Shem Yisakin Klishir the Milsoi Shichu. It's a Milsoi Shichu. Some people, very few people, could do it. We don't make Exera. The Efshir Shalzeh Nog Lahakol Bakoil. And maybe, says Ramah, that's why people today are noig to be makel to dance and for a Suda Shabbos, for Yontiv, or in our case, for Nesuit. And again, the Ramah was matter to dancing at the Chasna. So it was not just a Ramah here, Lahalocha, but it was not just what the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch, but he actually paskined it Halacha Lamaisa. The Rabbonim of the city of Krakow were very upset at the Ramah's psak. They felt that he's being oiver, sigh on dancing, sigh on making kedushin on Shabbos, and they were very upset about it. They made a takana that no one is allowed to get married anymore on Fridays in the city of Krakow. If Friday is the only day you can get married, you have to do it outside of the boundaries of the city of Krakow. Because of this maisa, where the Ramah, and the Ramah did it knowing he would get tremendous opposition, but it meant so much to him. He had such a feeling and understanding for the sensitivity, the busha of the Chosan and Kala, that he permitted it. But as a result, there was this takan in the city of Krakow. The Ramah, of course, ends off. The Mishnah Berurah points out that if the chasna will take place, Beina Shmashes, there's no problem because we're not Goyzer, a Shvus, Beina Shmashes, as we've had earlier in the Masechta, when there's a Dvar Mitzvah, such as in this case. But again, the Mishnah Berurah says, be very careful not to make it so late to Beina Shmashes, because many averus can come out of this, tiltul muktzah of the neiros, and many women who go to the chuppah wind up lighting their candles after the zman. they light it b'beinu shmashes. It would be better they wouldn't light it at all. And manochem oid, says the Mishnah Berurah, l'misha yichos b'yari, a person who can afford it, shaloi lasis ha-nesum klal b'erev Shabbos. Don't make the nesum at all erev Shabbos, u'befrat samach l'chashech, and certainly not close to evening, because even if the nesum will be at the right time, they'll come out of there many kukulim, as he just explained. The minig today in Klal Yisrael is not to make chasnas on erev Shabbos or even close to Shabbos, and certainly not on Shabbos itself. I did hear from Harav Fishel Shachter Shlita an unbelievable story that there was a great Paisik in Eretz Yisrael who used the Rabbeinu Tam, used the Ramaz Heter B'Shas Hadchak in the following situation. There was a man, unfortunately, lying on his deathbed, and he had no children. He had a brother in Russia where no one knew where that brother was. If he would die on Shabbos without children, his wife would remain in Aguna. No one could marry her because of the Isser of Lysia Esha Mesha Chutzala Ishzor, because she was Chayiv in at least Chalitza Bizman Hazeh, and they couldn't find the brother. There was a niece. So the Rav paskened that the dying brother should be Mekadesh the Isha, the niece, his niece. The brother in Russia had a daughter, the niece of the person who was being Nifter. And by doing that, when he was Nifter subsequently, his wife did not remain in Aguna because she was now a Tsaras Erva. The brother in Russia, wherever he was, had a mitzvah to do Yibam. Today we don't do Yibam, we do Chalitza for various reasons. And he couldn't, sister-in-law was to him a Tsaras Erva because the other wife was his own daughter, who he couldn't marry. And Allah is that a Tsaras Erva does not fall liyibm or chalitz, and this way the dying person's wife would be able to remarry. Rabbi Schechter, official Schechter, said that this story has not been authenticated, but we just see to what extent the heter of Rabbeinu Tam to make Kiddushin on Shabbos is applied to save this woman from being an aguna. Continues the Gemara. It goes back to the Mishnah. Loi chaltsa v'loi miyabmin. We do not do chalitza or yibam. And again, these are considered in the category of rishus. Va mitzvah ka'avid. These are mitzvahs. Why do you call it rishus? Loi tzvicha de'ika gadol. There is someone who's older. U mitzvah begadol. As Rashi brings down the pasuk, it says, v'hoi yabchar. The mitzvah is in the gadol, the bechar, to do Yibum and Chalitza for both. Umitzvah begadol liyabim, and the Shita speaks out, this will also be a pasuk we're using for Chalitza. So since there is someone there who has the primary mitzvah on him, it's only if he doesn't do it, then the next brother would do it. But since the primary mitzvah is on the gadol, therefore it's not considered a total mitzvah, it's only considered a rishus. Now the Gemara wants to know, now that we've explained why all these mitzvahs are not considered full mitzvahs, and therefore they're categorized in the category of rishus, the kulu time am I, why in fact did the Rabbanan asur them to be made on Shabbos Yontif? The answer is, gzeri shami yichta, because maybe he'll come out to write, as Rashi explains, by a din, which is usher, there they might write down the psak din. By kedushin, they may write down the shtar erisin. By chalitza, the shtar chalitza. And by yivama, they may write down the ksuba. And therefore, since they shouldn't come to write, therefore the chazal prohibited all these activities which we categorized as rishus. But now the Mishnah continues, ve'elohem yishom mitzvah. And now there are other items which are full mitzvahs, and they are also prohibited to be done on Shabbos and Yontif. Loi magdishin, one cannot donate something to the Beis HaMikdash. Veloi marichin, as we have in Parshas Bechukosai, that if a person says, erchi olai, there are certain Torah values that men, women at different ages have different values, and depending on exactly what his neder was when he made that erech, and that's how much he would have to pay to the Beis HaMikdash, but one cannot do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. V'loy machrim, and one cannot donate what is called a cherim, and Rashi in the Mishnah already told us, the last Rashi in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav Beis, that stam charamim go to the Bedek HaBayis. All of these activities, which are categorized as mitzvahs, cannot be done on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, why? Xerim shemekel memkar. Rashi gives two explanations. The first explanation is that mekel memkar is usher from a pasuk in the Navi, in Yeshaya, where the pasuk says, mimtsoi cheftzcha v'dabar davar, that on Shabbos we should be careful from doing our weekday activities. And mekel memkar is considered a weekday activity. And since when I magdish something, it is going out from my rishus into the rishus of Hegdish, therefore it appears to be like mekel memkar, and it would be part of the prohibition from the Navi Yeshaya of Mimtsoi Cheftzcha. Inami, Rashi gives a second shot, that Mekechu Memkar can come to Ksiva. You might write down Shtari Mechira. So, therefore, we prohibit all these Hegdeshim, Marichin, Machrimin, Magdishin, all these activities are prohibited because it's Domet to Mekechu Memkar, and Mekechu Memkar is Usser, because you might come to write down Shtar Mechira. Ask Rashi, and Tosis goes with the same Mahalach as Rashi, if so, it'll be a Gzeirul Gzeira, according to the second pshat that we've just mentioned. And Rashi answers, Kulo Chod Gzeiri, when they ushered Mekechu Memkar, because maybe you'll come to write Shtar Mechira, they included in that as well all these types of Hegdashes that go to the Beis HaMikdash, which are Domet to Mekechu Memkar. Continues the Mishnah, V'loy magbiim trumas u'maishas. So these are other mitzvahs, categorized as mitzvahs, not as rishus, which are prohibited on Shabbos and Yontov. One cannot lift up trum and meiser on Shabbos and Yontov. The Gemara asks Pshita, and the Rishonim explain. Number one, it's pashut, we understand. That's being misakin something. That would be asur because of fixing something on Shabbos or Yontov. And other Rishonim say, Pshita, because we've had this already before in the Masechta, why did our Mishnah mention it again? Tani Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef learned, like Nitzchor must be speaking about Litno L'Koyin by B'yayim, that he's going to be Mafrish the Trumas of Maestros and give the Lamashal the Truma he'll give to the Koyin that day. And as Rashi explains, it has the appearance as if Mechsi the Kula Milsum Shum Simchas Yantiv the Koyin. Why am I doing it? Not because I want to have left over the Shurim that I and my family can eat on Shabbos or Yantiv. No, I'm doing it in order to give the Simchas Yantiv to the Koyin. I'm giving it today to the Koyin. So that's what it appears. So perhaps because of that we should allow it. The answer is, since you're being misakein, therefore it's prohibited, even if it doesn't look like you're doing it in order to keep the shirayim, and your whole purpose is to give it to the kite. But vahani mili peri the tefillin me'asbel. That's only fruit that was tevel yesterday. Avil peri the tefillin idna. But fruit that became produce that became tevel today. Kigoy, Esau, you made a dough on yontiv to eat it on yontiv. Lefrushman a challah, mafreshin ve'avina l'kayin. A challah of a dough that you made on yontiv to eat on yontiv, as Rashi explained, since if you would have done it yesterday, it wouldn't be fresh, and you have a right to eat fresh bread on yontiv. It's oichel nefesh, you could eat it on yontiv. Therefore, the rabbanim were not geizer this gzeira to be mafresh from fresh dough that was needed on yontiv for tzarech yontiv. They did not prohibit it if you would be mafresh on yontiv and give it to the kayim. Vahani freid the gemara. Vahani mishum rishus ikam mishum shvus leka. Vahani mishum mitzvah ikam mishum shvus leka. You made three categories in the mishnah: shvus, rishus, and mitzvah. Lechora, the way you've explained it, the rishus is also a shvus, and the mitzvah is also a shvus. Why did you call them rishus and mitzvah? Why didn't you just call them all shvus? Just make a whole list of different things that the Rabbanim prohibited on Shabbos and Yontif. Why divide it up into these three categories? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak answers, Loi Miboy Kamar. We're trying to say one item which is a bigger chiddush than the other. Loi Miboy Shvus Greatest Adasar. Certainly something that has no shaychus at all with a mitzvah, like the first items that were mentioned in the Mishnah, like we began today's shir with swimming, that is prohibited, that there's no in association with a mitzvah at all. So that's certainly the asr, that the chachamim, if they had a reason to be geyser, they prohibited. El afil ishvus the rishos. But even a shvus that's connected with something that has a connection with a mitzvah, doing a din taira, being mekadesh an isha, yibm chalitza, the rishos, nami asr, that also they extended the shvus even to dvorm of rishos. And we go further. V'loy meboy shvus the rishos asr, el afil ishvus the mitzvah, nami asr. That's why the Mishnah divided up into three categories to tell you one item a bigger chiddush than the other. Not only a plain rishus, but not only a plain shvus, but even a shvus which is a rishus, and not only a shvus which is a rishus, but even a shvus on something that normally is a total mitzvah, they prohibited it on Shabbos and Yontif. Continued the Mishnah, kol el Yontif Amr. These were all said by Yontif, and the Mishnah said that kal v'chaymer to Shabbos, and then the Mishnah concluded ve'ein ben yontav l'Shabbos ela oichol nefesh bilvad. And on this last phrase of the Mishnah, the Gemara is now asking the following question: Reminu, you're telling me to hold chilek between Shabbos and yontav, as we find also in a Mishnah Masechta Chagiga, is only by oichol nefesh bilvad. With the first Mishnah in our Masechta on Daf Lamed Hamid Beis began with something which is permitted on yontav and prohibited on Shabbos. Mashilin. And as it says here on the side, on the left side margin, the word really that's missing here is peiros. Mashilin peiros derech aruba biyantiv avaloi b'shabbos. If somebody has produce, which he has wheat or barley that is on his roof, and it is in the sun and it's drying out, and now he hears the weather report that it's going to rain. So he was not planning to use this produce on Yontif. So it's really muktzah. But now he's going to ruin his produce if it gets caught in the rain. The halacha is he's allowed to lower it, which is only a small tircha. He cannot bring it in through a window, for example, which would be a tircha yisera. But by lowering it through a skylight, derech aruba, he's allowed to do that by Yontif. But the Chazal did not permit it even for Hefsid, and even though it's only a small tircha, avaloi b'Shabbos. So this is not a difference between Yontif and Shabbos of Oichel Nefesh. Here's a shala of Muktza, and one time it's Mutter by Yontif, and by Shabbos it's Asur. So why do we say that the only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is by Oichel Nefesh? Amar Rabbi Yosef, loy kasha, this is not difficult. Har Rabbi Lezer, Har Rabbi Yeshua. As Rashi explains, the Sefer that says Ein Bein, that there is no difference except Eichel Nefesh, is going according to Rabbi Lezer. That Rabbi Lezer does not permit Shvusim because of Hefsid. Har Rabbi Yeshua, the Reisha, which made a distinction between Shabbos and Yontif, concerning Mashilin, Derech Aruba B'Yontif Eloi B'Shabbos, that's going according to Rabbi Yeshua, who did permit on Yontif Shvusim because of Hefsa. Tosfos asked the Kasha that why doesn't our Mishnah ask from things such as Hoitzah, which according to Beis Hillel, Hoitzah is Mutter on Yontif, even not for Eichel Nefesh, and B'Shabbos it is prohibited. So Tosfos answers that the Gemara knew that there are things that are different midaraisa between Shabbos and Yontif, but we're discussing Shvusim. Our Mishnah says that the only shvus that there's a chilek between Shabbos and Yontif is Oichel Nefesh, and on that the Gemara is asking that we find by Mashilin Derech Aruba, which has nothing to do with Oichel Nefesh. He's not planning to eat it on Yontif, and yet there is a chilek between Shabbos and Yontif. So the Gemara answers, Harav Lazar Rabbi Shua, the Sanya we learned in the Braisa. Oysev es benoy, shnaf labor. We know that there's an Isser in the Torah, as Rashi says on the second line, wide line here, She'ein non mutarin lishchot shneim ayoyim. We're not allowed to shecht the mother and the child of animals in the same day. What happens if they both fell? The mother and the child fell into a bor, shenafel a bor. Rabbi Lezer Amar Mal, it's on Yontif. Rabbi Lezer Amar Mal is a rishon amanasa shechtei. He brings up the first one from the bor with the idea that he's going to shecht it. So he's allowed to bring it up from the bor in order, because he's planning to feed it to his family on Yontif. V'shaychet, and he shechts it. V'hasheni, what about the second one? Ois lo pernosim koimoy, kidei shlo yamas. Now, there's a danger if he leaves the second animal in the boar, the animal will die. However, he's only allowed to try to feed it in the boar as best as he can in order that it shouldn't die. But he has no heter to bring up the second one, because since he's going to shech the first one, he's not allowed to shech the second one. So there would be an isser for him to move the animal on yontiv from the boar. The best that he can do is to try to provide parnasa from it for it in its place in order that it shouldn't die. Rabbi Yeshua Aimer, he can do better than that. Malas or Rishnam Nasa Shaykhli. He lifts up the first one with the idea of shechting. But Vaina Shaykhli. Then when he brings it up, he says, he's really doing like a haramba, a trick here. He says, you know, the first one, I don't know, it doesn't look so robust. It doesn't look like the meat is so fat, so good. Maybe the other one there is even better. The Chayzer Umarim, he makes this trick. Umala Hashemi, and then he brings up the second one. Let me look at the second one. Let me see. Maybe that's better. Ratzazeshach. Now that he has both of them up, he can check either one. So we see Rabbi Yeshua permitted through a harama, because of a potential hefsid, a shvus of moving the animal. Rilchai, we should only be able to move one animal, as Rabbi Lazar says. But Rabbi Yeshua says, no. Since there's a potential hefsid that that remaining animal could die in the boar, we're going to be matur the shvus of moving the animal on yontiv through the means of a harama. So therefore, the Gemara is trying to say that the Seifa, our Mishnah that says Ein Bein, the only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is Eichel Nefesh, and not the case of Mashilin. In Mashilin, they would hold that it's prohibited both on Shabbos and on Yontif. That will be going like Rabbi Lezer, who's not Matar Shvus because of a potential hefset to the produce that's going to get wet on the roof of this person. However, the Reisha, that Mishnah on Daflam and Hayamid Beis, will be going to Rabbi Yeshua, who we find that by Oysev Espinoy permitted both animals to be brought up in order that there shouldn't be a potential hefset to one of the animals. Amalei Abaye said to him, to Rabbi Yosef, Mimai, how do you know that you can be medama over here, the machlokes Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, to the Reish and the Seifa of our Mishnayis in our Perek here? Dilma adkan lekom Rabbi Lezer hasam el d'efshir parnasa. You know why Rabbi Lezer said over there that it is usher by Yosef Espinoy, because he has some etza. He can feed the animal in the boar. He could stay by the boar during Yontiv and make sure that the animal is getting fed properly. He has an eitzah. That's why Rabbi Lazar said, I'm not going to be matur moving the animal. However, Aval Hoch, in our case of Mashilim by the Peiris, Deloy Efshir B'Parnasa, there's no other eitzah. If he doesn't bring it down through the skylight, the produce is going to get ruined. Loy, then he would not aser. And then, in fact, he would permit it. Maybe that mission is going like Rabbi Lazar also. Inami or Atkan Lakam Rabbi Yeshua Hasam. You know, when Rabbi Yeshua permitted it over there by Oysev Espinoy, Ella de Efshali Rumei, because there is a harama. He could say, well, I'm not sure if I really want the first one. Let me take a look at the second one. But here, where it is clear to everyone that the only reason why he's putting it through the skylight is because it's supposed to rain, the clouds are gathering on the horizon, if he doesn't do it, all his food is going to get ruined. Where there's not, but there is no Efshala room, because everybody knows that he's doing it only for the purpose of saving his tfua. Loi, maybe Rabbi Yeshua was not the Maturit. So how do you know to make the machlokas between the Reish and the Seifa of our Mishnah is to make that totally on the machlokas of Lazar Reb Shimon? El Amrapapa Loi Kashi. We can answer this theorem between the Reish and the Seifa in a different way. Ha Beishameh, Ha Beisilel. The Seifa that says Ein Bein, the only difference between Shabbos and Yontif is Eichel Nefesh, will be going according to Beis Shammai, as we're going to see that we can learn out from Beis Shammai that they would not be Matur Eishrus because of Hefsed. Ha Beis Hillel, the Mishnah on Laman Hamid Beis of Mashilin, which is Matur lowering it on Yontif through the skylight, will be going like Beis Hillel, who we can deduce that they would hold that one could move Muktzah things if there's a matter of a hefset. The snan we learned in a Mishnah, they shamay aymrim aymoit see it loyas a cotton loyas a lulav loyas sefer tarlishus rab, that one cannot move out on yontiv a cotton, a small child carry him out, or the lulav, or a sefer Torah, even though there's a need. But Beis Shammai is only matir hoitzah for oichel nefesh, not for any other need. Ubeis Hillel matir and Beis Hillel permitted. They say that it, not only for oichel nefesh is matir, but also for these other purposes as well. And therefore, the Gemara is trying to say, as Rashi explains, that if I hold like Beishami, that ein moitzi in a sakatan, the sohitso was not mutter shaloi lutzarech. So huadin tiltul mukze shaloi lutzarech, we would be geyser even if there's a hefsed mammon. And that's why they would hold that you're not allowed to lower the produce both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. However, according to Beis Hillel, who say that I saw Shaloi Lutzarech is Mutter Min HaTorah, so who adin, we will deduce from that Tiltul Mid Rabbanan, the Rabbanan weren't geyser in a case where Hoitza is Mutter, even Shaloi Lutzarech, so Tiltul for Hefsid would be Mutter. Frey the Gemara, Dil Malayi, maybe we cannot say this. Ad Kan L'Kamri Beis Shammai Hosma Laitza. What is your riot that just because Beis Shammai prohibited Hoitzah, that they would prohibit Tiltul as well? Maybe Hoitzah is Aser, Midaraisa, Tiltul Midarabbanan, perhaps Litzayrach Hefsid, they would be Mater. How do you know that the Sefer of our mission is going like Beis Shammai? Maybe they would agree here to Beis Hillel. The more answers, Atu Tiltul Lav Tzarech Hoitzah. What's the whole reason of the Isser of Muktzah? The reason is because maybe he'll forget and he'll be might see it on Shabbos or Yontif Terusha Sarabim. So Memela, if we find that they are Machmer in Hoitzah, the Gemara is assuming that Huadin, they would be Machmer in a Tiltul, they would not permit moving the Muktzah, even though you might incur a Hefsed. However, according to Beis Hillel, who's Mater Hoitzah Shalom Tzarech on Yontif, Huadin, they would be Mater Tiltul de Rabbanan, if there is a cheshash of hefsed. We begin the next Mishnah, which begins the inyanim of a ruve techumen, which we will have starting in this Mishnah till the end of the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Habehema v'akelim karagle habaylim. We know, we've had this in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, the inyan of Tchum Shabbos, who had in a Tchum on Yontiv. On Yontiv, a person is allowed to carry things besides himself, besides how far he's allowed to walk. Normally, he's allowed to walk 2,000 amas in each direction from his house. Or if he makes a Ruve Tchumen at the end of 2,000 amas, let's say to the north of his house, he can then, if it was Koine Shrisa from Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, he can proceed in that direction another 2,000 Amos. Now, the halacha is that his Behema or Kalim, or the Rishonim say, who had done anything else that he's allowed to move, like Eichlim, food, can be transported to the same location as he himself is allowed to walk. Now, for example, let's say we had two cities, City A and City B, and the cities were 3,000 amas away from one another. So somebody who's coming from City A, let's say which was in the north, he could walk 2,000 amas to the south. Someone who was coming from City B in the south could walk 2,000 amas to the north. They overlap, there are 1,000 amas where both people are able to walk on Shabbos and Yontif. So now, if the person, let's say coming from City B in the south, walks 2,000 amas to the north, and he meets someone from City A who has walked 2,000 amas to the south, he's in those 1,000 amas where they overlap, he could hand something to him. Can the person from City A now take that item, whatever it was, food, kalim, whatever it was, and bring it back to his home in City A? The answer is no. Because since this food or kalim were coming from someone who lived in City B, and that person in City B can only walk 2,000 amas to the north of his city, and he will not be able to walk the full 3,000 amas to City A, which is in the north, 3,000 amas away from City B. Therefore, the food or kalim likewise cannot move past 2,000 amas north from City B. The person from City A will only be allowed to carry it in those 1,000 amas of overlap, and he will not be able to bring it back all the way to City A. That's the pshat. Habehem v'kalim karagle habaylim. Now, there's another halacha here, that when do we determine where the kelim are, at what time? That's totally, where was the person, where was he kaina shrisa, bein ashmashis, of Erev Shabbos, or in our case here, of Erev Yontif. Therefore, says the Mishnah, hamayser behemta libnoi or l'raya, if he gives his behemoth to his son, or to a shepherd. And when did he give it to them? He gave it to them on Yontif, hare elu karagli habaylim. So since this keli was kaina shvisa, dependent on the bailim who had the behema, in this case would be a behema, baina shmashes of Erev Yontif, the behema could only go the 2,000 amas in each direction that the owner could go. Therefore, even if the roa had a different, he was coming from someplace else, he had a different area that he could walk in, he can only take the animal as far as the tchumen of the owner allows. Kelim hamyuchadim le'echad min ha'achin shebebayis. Let's say there are a number of brothers in one house, and there's a certain keli that belongs to one brother, hare'elu karaglav. So that keli can only be moved in the tchumen as far as that one brother is able to move in each direction. But let's say this keli belongs to all the brothers, and the brothers don't all have the same tchum, because let's say most of the brothers were kind of shvisa in their house. They can go 2,000 ames, north, south, east, west. One brother wanted to go someplace 4,000 ames to the north of the house. Therefore, he set up an Erev 2,000 amas away to the north from the house. That will permit him to go another 2,000 amas. But meanwhile, he's not allowed to go 1 foot to the south, because all you get is a total of 2,000 amas in each direction. Which, let's say you're going north, you can go from the house to the Erev, and then from the Erev further north, you can go 4,000 amas from the house to the end of where he had placed the Eruv Tchum, and another 2,000 amas, which would give you 4,000 amas in that direction. But so the brothers share with that one brother, the brothers who were kind of shvisa in the house, share with the one brother a total of 2,000 amas. So the brothers cannot take that keli to the south at all. The brother who has 4,000 amas in the northern direction from the house, he can only bring the keli 2,000 amas in the northern direction, because the brothers who have their Erev to the south impede him from going all the way to the north. Just like he impedes the brothers from going at all to the south, they impede him from going beyond his Erev to the north. The only place where everybody could carry this item would be in those 2,000 amas next to the house on the northern side, which everyone shares. So that's what the Mishnah says. She'ein miuchadim arei elu kamakim shaholchen. Then they can only take it in the place where everyone is mutter to walk. Hashoyo kli mechaveri me'erev yontiv kiraglei hashoyo. If somebody borrows kelim on Erev Yontiv, so then the tchum, the keli, it goes after the one who bought it, because he did it Erev Yontif, banish mashes. It was already given over to him by the mashal, by the lender. So now it's kona shvisa based on the shoel, based on his tchum. What happens if he bought it biyontif? It was given over to him on yontif. So banish mashes, it was still in the rishus of the mashal, the lender. Then the halach is karagli mashal. This keli would only be able to be transported by the shoel in whatever tchum the mashal had. If they had two different tchumim, the shoyel could only carry it as the mashal would have been allowed to carry it. The chen isha shoshone chaverta tavlin, the same thing, a woman who borrowed from her friend some spice for something that she was cooking, or she borrowed mayim umelech, water and salt, le'isasa, for her dough. And when did she borrow for the kedera and for the isa? She did it on yontif. So it comes out that bein hashmashes, let's say she had the flour, but her friend had the water and the salt. She had the cook the item that was cooking, but her friend had the spices. So now there's a mixture of two people in what is being baked and what is being cooked. The halacha is, harei elu karagli shteyan. So since Bein HaShmash is parts of the kedera, the cooked item, and parts of the Esau, the dough, were belonged to two different people, you're only allowed to move this item in that area where both of them can walk. If they have different chumen, then each one, in their, if one's erev is more to the north and one's erev is more to the south, then each one impedes the other one from going in the opposite direction. And the only place they can carry it is where they both are able to walk on Shabbos. However, Rabbi Yehuda poiter b'mayim, as Rashi explains from the Gemara, in a thick tafshel where the water is not nicker, if it's a running item that was cooked where the water is nicker, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that that person who owned the water, Bein HaShmashes, would prohibit on the other person, would limit where the other person could walk if they have different chumen. But Rabbi Yehuda potters by water, which is in a thick tafshel where the water is not recognizable, Mibnei She'ein by Mamish, it has no mamashes to it. It's become part and parcel of the tafshel, and therefore it doesn't have an effect on the other woman in what she was making it, whether it be a dough or a tafshel, if the water is not recognizable. What about salt? So Rashi says that the Enechanami would be thin salt, then Rabbi Yehuda would also say that it doesn't usher because Ein Ben Mamish. Here we're speaking about thick salt. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says on thick salt, where you could recognize it, I agree with the Tanakhama that whoever owned that thick salt, Bein HaShmashes, would limit the place where this Esor Tafshel could be brought. But in thin salt or water in a thick Tafshel, there Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that it does not usher, because Ein Ben Mamish, it becomes bottle, part and parcel of the thing that you are cooking or baking. Begins the Gemara Masnisen, as we turn to Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The like Rab Dais is not going L'char, like Rab Dais, the sign you will learn in a Braisa. Rab Dais Oimer, V'amri Lo Abishol Oimer, and some say Abishol says, Halikeich Behem V'chaver Be'er V'yantiv. If somebody bought a keli from his friend on Erev Yontiv, Afal Pishloi Masloi El B'yantiv, even though he only gave it to him on Yontiv, Harei U'karagel Elkeich, L'gabi this halach of Yontiv, where he's allowed to move it in the Tchum. It goes like the feet of the Lo Keach, even though he didn't give it over to him, but since he had purchased it, he had done all the Kinyonim Erev Yontiv, the only thing he actually didn't hand it over to him, but he did Kinyonim with which he was Kona the animal, Memela, it goes Karagel Halo Keach, and not Karagel HaMocher. And the way Rashi explains the next piece of Gemara, this next case is part and parcel of the first case. It's not a separate case. What is the second half of this first case? The Hamoser Behem L'Roya. And if the Mocher gives this behem on Yontif to the shepherd, to a shepherd, even though he only gave it to him on Yontif, the animal is able to be moved according to the place where the Roya can move in his tchum, not in the tchum of the Moicher or the Lekech, but Karagle HaRoya. The question from this braisa is that L'chayru Rab Daisa is not like our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah it says that if it was given over to a Roya on Yontiv, Harayu Karagle Abailim, and here Rab Daisa said that it's Karagle HaRoya. The Gemara answers, Afilatam Rab Daisa. You could say that our Mishnah is going even according to Rab Daisa, but like Kasha, there's no Kasha. Kan B'Roya Echad, Kan B'Shnei Roya. Explains Rashi that Rav Daisa is speaking about where the city only had one shepherd. So both the Moicher and the Lekeach had in their das that it's going to be watched by this one and only Raya. Therefore, since there's a certainty that it's going to be given over to the Raya, therefore it was considered that Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmash, this Raya, this animal is in the Rishus of the Raya, and it goes after his Tchum, where he's able to walk based on his particular place that he was Shaivis in. It does not go Basar to Moicher, it does not go Basar Lekeach. However, our Mishnah, which says it goes after the Moicher, is speaking about there are two Rayim in the city. So we don't know which Raya, it's an unknown which Raya will eventually get this animal. Therefore, if one Raya gets it, So we say the only thing that we know for sure was that at the beginning of Shabbos, it was in the Rishus of the Meicher. If it was in the Rishus of the Meicher, we say it continues in the Rishus of the Meicher, and we do not go after the Roya, because we don't know which Roya will eventually wind up with this animal. Dei Kanami, I'll bring you a proof that our Mishnah is speaking about, that there is more than one person who can watch the animal. Diktani libnoi oy l'roya. You see that there is an option there, that there's a roya, but he could give it over to his son. His son could have been a different roya. So there's more than one option in our Mishnah, and there we go after the owner, not the roya, where there's only one roya in a city, and we know he's going to wind up with it. There it goes, karagli or roya. Shema Aminu, the Gemara says that's a very good proof that it's speaking in our Mishnah of more than one roya. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Chan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Rabbi Daisa. The Halach is like Rabbi Daisa. Afraid the Gemara. Me Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan pass like Rabbi Daisa? Va Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan told us that we have a klal Halach Kistam Mishnah Utznan, and we learned in our Stam Mishnah on Amid Aleph Habehema Vakhelim Karagli Habaylim. And the Mishnah continues: if you give it to the Roya, it's Karagli Habaylim. So that's not like Rabbi Daisa. The Gemara says, what's your question? Va Lavu Kivne Kamba Roya Echad Kamishnei Royim. Avada Rabbi Yochanan can Paskin like Rav Daisa. I, Rav Yochanan, says the Halach is like a Stam Mishnah, because the Stam Mishnah is not in steer with Rav Daisa. Our Mishnah is speaking about Shnei Royim. Rav Daisa is speaking about Roya Echad. By Roya Echad, then you can Paskin that you give it over Karagle HaRoya, and it's not difficult. Rav Yochanan will Paskin like our Stam Mishnah by Shnei Royim, that it's Karagle Bailim, and by Roya Echad, he'll Paskin like Rav Daisa, that it is Karagle HaRoya. Tana Rabban, and we have learned, Shnaim Shesholu Chaluk Echad B'Shutvis. If two people borrowed one garment as Shutvim, Zel Leilich Boy Shachrus Beis HaMedrash. This person wanted to use that garment to go Shachrus to Shul. He wanted to go to the north, Vizel, Ikonis Boy Arvis, the Beis HaMishnah. And this person wanted to go to a Simcha at night, the night of Yantiv, not the Moitzoy Yantiv Rishon, but rather the night preceding the Shachris, where his friend is going to go to the Beis HaMedrash. And Zeh, Arav Alav Letzafim, Zeh Arav Alav Ledorim. So let's say the case is two people are in a house, these two Shutvim of the garment. One wants to use the garment to go at night southward, 3,000 Amis away from the house. The other one wants to go Shabbos morning to Shul, northward, 3,000 Amos away from the house. Each one makes an Erev. They make an Erev, 1,000 Amos. The one in the south makes 1,000 Amos away from the house to the south. The one who wants to go to the north, Shabbos morning, makes it 1,000 Amos away from the house to the north. So now, the one who wants to go Friday night, who wants to go Yontav at night, to the Simcha, to the Beis Mishnah, he can go 1,000 Amos to his Erev, and then he can go another 2,000 Amos to the south, because his Erev permits him to go 2,000 Amos in each direction from the Erev. He has switched his Makom Shvisa from the house to the Erev, which is 1,000 Amos to the south. Now he gets 2,000 Amos more to the south from the Erev. He also gets 1,000 Amos back to the house, and he gets 1,000 Amos back to the north, which is up to where the other Erev is of his friend. His friend, who's going to the north, put an Erev 1,000 Amos to the north of the house. He gets another 2,000 Amos from the Erev to the north, so he can use the Chalok to the Beis HaMedrash Shabbos morning. And his total now would be 2,000 to the north of his Erev, 1,000 from Erev to the house, and then he gets yet another 1,000 to the south of the house. The problem is that since this is owned by Bishutvis, each one restricts the other. The one who made his Erev to the south restricts his Shutiv from going to the north. The one who made the Erev to the north restricts his friend from going to the south. It comes out that the only place they could carry this garment, neither of them will be successful. Their only place they can carry it is 1,000 Amos to the north of the house, to the Erev of the north, and 1,000 Amos to the south of the house, to the Erev in the south. That's the only joint common area that they both can travel in. that's the only area that they could both use the chalokin. And it'll come out that since each one restricts the other, neither of them will be successful in using this garment, in carrying it to the shul or to the Beis HaMishnah, because the garment is owned by both, and this garment has to go like the feet of both, where they both are allowed to travel, and they can only travel 1,000 amos in each direction. Continues the Gemara. Zesh arvalov letzofen, mahalach letzofen, karagli misha arvalov bedorm. The one to the north can only go as far to the north as the one to the south is permitted to go, which is only 1,000 amos northward from the house, because he has 3,000 amos on the other side of the house. The zesh arvalov dorm, the one who goes to the dorm, mahalach ledorm, can only go ledorm, karagli misha arvalov letzofen. Only as far as the one who went 3,000 amos from the house to the north can go to the south, which is only 1,000 amos. Because this chalok has to take on the chumras of both people. And what happens if they didn't go 3,000 amos to the north and 3,000 amos to the south of the house, but rather they went 4,000 amos to the north and 4,000 amos to the south? So it comes out that the house is in the middle. One made an Erev 2,000 amos from the house to the north. One made an Erev 2,000 amos from the house to the south. So then they cannot move this garment out of the house at all. You can't move it at all, because if you go one, if the guy from the north will go one, if the guy from the north, he has 4,000 amos to the north, but the one from the south is restricting him from moving that chaluk 1 inch into the north, because the guy from the south is not allowed to go to the north at all. And likewise, the one from the south is prohibited to go an inch into the south, because the guy from the north is prohibiting him. He's only allowed to go 4,000 amos to the north. So he's not allowed to go to the south, and he prohibits the other guy. So each one prohibits the other one from moving it, even a mashu, out of the house. Itmar, we have learned, Shnayim shel lokhu chavisu behem v'shutus. If two people took animal or a chavis, a barrel of wine, b'shutus, and their idea is to split it on yontiv, rav omer chavis muteris ubehem asura. Now the question is, they have different chumim, will they prohibit the movement, restrict the movement of the chavis or of the behema on yontiv? Will it be karagle shneyem? So Rav amar chavis muteris. Rav says that once they split up the chavis, each one can take the wine to their own individual tchum. Ubehema asura. However, the animal, each one restricts the other based on the common area that they both can travel. Since they're shutfim, the behema belongs to both, even if they shech the animal and divide up the meat, but the meat was considered for both, and therefore it has the halacha of ragle shtem. Shmuel amr, chavis nami asur. Shmuel says not only is the behema asur, the chavis is also asur. So we're going to get into the inyan of breira. And Shmuel, we understand, very poshut. How would you want to permit the chavis from being transported, each one according to his own individual tchum? That would be based on the halacha of Breira, which tells us that retroactively at the beginning of Yontiv, it was considered that whatever wine I get from this barrel was my wine, and whatever wine you get from the barrel, that was your wine, and therefore the wine that I subsequently get was koine shvisa at the beginning of Yontiv based on my own individual tchum. So that would be the only way it would be permitted. So Shmuel says, ain breira, we don't hold retroactive. So if we look back at the beginning of Yontiv, it was owned by both, it's asura. So Shmuel, we understand, the chavis is asur, the meat is asur, ain breira. But Mike Sover Rav asks more, what does Rav hold? Ika Sover Yesh Breira, if he holds Yesh Breira, a fill of behema tishtri, then even the meat that they divide up should be mutter. Why does he say the meat is asur? Ika Sover Ein Breira. And if he says you cannot work with this concept of retroactive Breira, if you hold Ein Breira, a fill of chavis nami asura, so then I can't say that at the beginning of Yontiv the wine was divided up. Mamanavshak, why is meat different than wine? And for the Gemara, Lailik Sover Yesh Breira. Really, he holds, you could say retroactive retroactively, this was my wine. But meat, you cannot say breiron. Why? Shanya behem. Behem is different. That since the animal, one part of the animal is fed from the other, so there is, you cannot split. An animal is not like wine that I could say, huvra dovla mafreya, that this was your wine at the beginning of Yontif and this was my wine. By an animal where the whole body is integrated and interrelated, one piece of the behemoth to the other, there we cannot say that we could divide it up retroactively. There we have to say at the beginning of Yontif it belonged to both, and therefore it ushers according to the Shita of Rav. I'm really Rav Kana Rav Asa Rav, so Rav Kana and Rav Asa said to Rav, Le'isr Mokzu Loi Choshishu. They weren't worried that they did use Breira to say that we don't look at, if they divide it up, I can certainly sit down right where I am now, or I can walk to in the area of common ground that we both can walk in. We don't say, oh, you were Makatsa from your Das, the meat of your friend. But rather we say, on that, on the Isser Mokzu, we'll say, Breira, that this was my meat from the beginning of Yontiv, and therefore I was not Mekatzit from my Das. And therefore there is no Isser Mokzu. I could use the food. I don't say I wasn't planning to eat my friend's food. So on that, we do say Breira. Loi Choshu, Isser Tchumen Choshu. And on Tchumen, they were Choshu. Just like on Mokzu, you don't say it's Mokzu. You use the concept of Breira, that I was getting my food, which I had Das on, Hu Adin, Linyan Tchumen. I'm allowed to move my meat that I got. Why, Gabe Tchumen, are you Machmer on the meat more than on the Chavis? Shasik Rav. Rav was quiet. Machloikis Rishainim. Some say Rav was Moida. You're right. I hear your point. And therefore, Rav, Einachanami, since he holds Breira, he's Mater, both by a chavis and both by a behema, and others say that he didn't consider this a serious question, and therefore he remained adamant with his position that chavis muteris u behema asur. My havi olo, what's halacha l'maisa? We have a machloikis between Rabbi Hoshia and Rabbi Yechonah. Rabbi Hoshia amr yesh breira, that we will say breira, and therefore either both the chavis and the behema will be mutter, or at least the chavis will be mutter and the behema will be asur. Rabbi Yechonah amr ein breira. Rabbi Yechonah will go like Shmuel, who says ein breira, and therefore, both the behema and the chavis are usher, means it goes karagle shneim. It's a restricted movement based on both of their tchumen. We have to look at both tchumen together. Do we then say that Rabbi Yishai is of the opinion that yesh breira, we learned not like that, but tonight we learned on a Mishnah. Ha mace, babai, is if you have a mace in the house, and there are many doors which are open where the mace could go out, so we say kulam tameim, then all the doors are considered tamei, since the mace could go out from each door, and any kalim that are in that door cavity will become tamei niftach echad mehen. But what happens if all the doors are closed and only one of them is open? Hu tamei, then that exit way is considered tamei bavakul in term to rest our tor. Chish of loitziv echad, let's say you only had a kavana to take it out from one door. Oy bechalon sheish boy, or not even a door, a window. Sheish boy arba larba. There are 4x4 tefach, which Rashi, where we had the sugi before on Daf Yudamid Aleph, tells us that this is the minimum the Chazal estimated that a person would be able to remove. A mace would be through an opening of 4x4 tefachim. So if he had in Das, they could put it through the door or through this window of 4x4 tefachim. Matzalas al psachim kolim, just by thinking about it, that, or even though it's closed, they're all closed, but he's thinking, I'm going to go through that one, that is matzal on all the rest that they are tor. B'shami oimrim, that is a condition. V'hu shechish evalov atchul yomis. That's only if he thought about it before the person died. Atchul yomis hamace. But if he thought about it afterwards, it doesn't work. Then they remain all tameh. Even after the person dies, if he thought about it, that one is tameh, the rest are tar. V'itmar law, and on that psak of Beis Hillel, Omer Rabbi Yishia Paskin, letar is a psak mikhal abba. That what Beis Hillel meant is that after the person died, and after he thought about it, mikano labo, then one, that one is tamei, the rest are ta. So we're medayik, mikano labo in, lemafrei aloi. But let's say there was a half hour after the mace died, till he thought about it. So then, any kalim that were in the doorways before, even according to Beis Hillel, will be tamei. It's only mikano labo, any kalim that were in the doorways after he thought, we will say that doorway or window way is tameh, and the rest are tar. So the chayre we see that Rabbi Yishu doesn't hold a brayer, because if you hold huvra dovlam afreya, so then we should say brayra. And even if he thought about it after the mace was nifter, even those things that were there between the yiptira of the mace and his thinking about it should be retroactively mutter in the other doorways which he didn't think about bringing the mace through there. And yet we say no, it's only mikan laba. Gemara says, you're right, and Apoch will have to change what we said before in the Gemara. It's Rabbi Oishi Amar Ein Breira, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Yesh Breira. That in fact, Rabbi Oishi is the one who says Ein Breira, and therefore the Chavis and the meat will be Aser, Keragle Shneim, and Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says Yesh Breira, and it will be Mutter, both the meat and the Chavis, and the meat. Maybe us or maybe not us, or depending on the two sheet as we said in Shasak Rav, but at least the Chavis for sure, because of Yesh Breira, will be mutter, and it will not be restricted by Raglei Shneim.